another episode of Trinity United Church Legon podcast. And now for today's teaching.
We give thanks to God that we can come this far. This is the last month in the series of the teachings on the Creed. And you will realize that in both creeds, it is about the last part of the creeds. In the Apostles' Creed, it goes, I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins. And the last part says, the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting. In the Nicene Creed, it says, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. It will be a long story to tell you why the Apostles' Creed has resurrection of the body and the Nicene Creed has resurrection of the dead. It's a whole theological debate. But for us, what we know is that we can affirm the resurrection. Maybe in our discussions, we'll look at whether it is the resurrection of the body or it is the resurrection of the dead. Beloved, if we had any of our medical personnel come to us this morning and as part of our gifts, instead of the communion wine, they served some medication to prevent death. I'm sure even the medical personnel will take it first before they give it to us. The fact still remains that for as long as we are human beings, death becomes an albatross. But the good news is that in our confession, we confess the resurrection. Resurrection of the body, resurrection of the dead. And the basis for this is going to serve what we will be doing this very morning. God willing, next week, we will look at one part of it. Today, we want to concentrate on the evidence of the fact of the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And then next week, as we look at the second coming, we will look at the resurrection of our bodies. Whether they are dead or alive, how God will bring life, a newness of life into us. The whole issue of resurrection is not new to the New Testament. We find this also in the Old Testament. There are indications in the Old Testament of the fact that they believed in the resurrection. For us as Ghanaians and Africans, we believe more in reincarnation than in resurrection. So a child is born, they say, hey, that old man who died the other time has come again. This child looks like him. That is not what we are talking about. Because when that old person comes back, he doesn't come back in the form he or she left us. We say that that child maybe facially carries some traits or in terms of the way the child behaves. And so in the world of scholarship, people have had difficulty accepting the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that was why Paul had to spend time talking about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, telling them that, look, you people, there are practices you go through because you believe in the resurrection. So you, when your people die, you baptize in their name with the hope that their baptism would put them in the right position when Christ returns. For some scholars, Jesus' resurrection is a resuscitation of the corpse. And the understanding of the corpse is in the context that Jesus Christ, when he died, he did not really die. He went into a swoon. It's like when you are sedating, an overdose of sedating. And then it is as if you are dead, it is as if you are alive. And then you are resuscitated. That was what happened. In fact, some have even gone as far as to say that when Jesus was resuscitated, he went to live in India. He got married and gave birth to children. There is another school of thought that sees the resurrection of Jesus as a surviving influence. That is, he appeared as a ghost. Interestingly, many people talk about ghosts, and yet they are not able to discuss very extensively how the person looked like. They say, "I saw a ghost." I'm sure you've heard stories of how people went to Nigeria, or most times it comes from Nigeria. And then they came with their wife and children to Ghana, and then they told them, "This is my house." And they were never seen. I haven't experienced that. But in the mind of some people, when Jesus is said to have resurrected, it was a ghost. Some people also experience or believe that the resurrection of Jesus Christ is a revived faith of the apostles. What this means is that the excitement that they experienced when the Pentecost happened was so thrilling that they began to talk more about the fact that Jesus was alive. I've had very interesting experience sometimes in pastoral ministry. Somebody dies, and then they tell you, "Osofo, go and declare the message." And then you go and tell the person and says, "Osofo Bua, that person is not dead. He is alive." That is the experience some scholars are talking about here. That the fact that they could not take the message, they formed in their hearts and minds that Jesus was alive. There is another school of thought that thinks that it is a living experience of the Spirit. For those of us who are Christians, we want to have a basis for our faith. And therefore, we convince ourselves that Jesus is alive. My dear brothers and sisters, the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ are fundamental to the existence of Christianity and is pivotal to Christian theology. That is why I like Paul, a whole lawyer, a Jew, a true Jew, contending and being very apologetic about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 from verses 1 to 8 that the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the message of the gospel by which we are being saved. In verses 1 and 2. And then he tells us that it is of first importance that it is declared that Christ died for our sins. So it is not just the death. The death had a reason, and the reason was that he died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures. Paul is a very good lawyer. So he gives the source according to the scriptures. Jesus himself said of this, that he will die and yet he will rise again. And he had to do this for the sake of our sins. And then he also says that Jesus did die. He did die according to the scriptures. He was buried. If somebody is not dead and you bury him or her, I'm sure just remaining under the grave in the cave that is sealed could speed up the death process for 3 days. Paul also testifies that Christ was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, or Peter, then to the rest of the 12, then to others, and also to him, Paul. Now, I want you to look at Paul, a lawyer, a true Jew, going round preaching the message of the gospel, that Christ died, Christ has risen, and Christ will come again. And in the midst of this, he receives lashes. He is persecuted and tortured, and yet he does not give up, because the evidence to him was true. Paul argues further in verse 13 of 1 Corinthians 15 that if there was no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ was raised. And that the entire Christian faith is fallacious. And it is also ineffective in dealing with sin. Those of us who are Africans and understand Mpata, if I do something against an elderly person and the case is to be settled, they will normally ask me to go and bring a sheep. The sheep must be slaughtered so that blood is shed, and then the meat is also shared. And the essence of this is that with the shedding of the blood, my sins have been forgiven. And then with the sharing in the body, as myself and the person I've sinned against eats of the meat of the animal, there is pacification. So even if you take it from the African context into the Bible, then Paul is saying that if Christ had not died, then sin has not been dealt with. And he goes on in verse 18, 1 Corinthians 15, 18, to say that it also implies that those who have died are lost or have perished. There is no hope. If Christ Jesus did not resurrect, then there is no need for us to think that there is going to be a resurrection, because he has failed us. Okonfanochi said he was going for some medication or medicine that will overtake death. Unfortunately, he didn't come back himself. But our Lord Jesus Christ spoke of the fact that he will die and that he will be buried, but on the third day he will rise again. Praise the Lord. Therefore, the Christian faith is hinged on the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ as a foretaste of our own resurrection. If Christ is risen, then I have every confidence to affirm in the creed that I believe in the resurrection. I believe in the resurrection. When we go through the Bible, there are evidences to show of Christ's resurrection. That Christ did not rise as spirit, but as a whole person. Donald Blatch, a theologian, puts it in these words, quote, "The resurrection concerns not simply the risen Christ, but the risen Jesus Christ." For theologians, that is very interesting. Because when they talk about the Christ, it is about the Christ of faith. But when they talk about Jesus Christ, Jesus is a Christ of history. It means that he indeed lived. And we are not only talking about that Jesus, but that Jesus who is the Christ. He is the one who rose. It signifies not just the preservation of the historical Jesus, but the victory of Jesus over sin, death, and hell. He conquered death and did not simply reverse death. Faith is not merely assent to his resurrection, but union with him in his resurrection. It is eschatological because the resurrection is an event of revelation. Eschatology is basically talking about the last things, that which is to come. And the point that Donald Blatch is making is the fact that if Jesus rose in history, then surely there is resurrection even for the future. He says it is through the power of the risen Christ that we are enabled to see and understand the mystery of Jesus as the living God incarnate. Another man I'm sure many of us might have heard of, John Stott, gives evidence of the resurrection by stating that the disappearance of the body, the reappearance of the Lord, and the emergence of the church together constitute a solid foundation for believing in the resurrection. Now, what John Stott is trying to say, in effect, is that Jesus, for a while, was not with his disciples. And they all knew that his body had been buried in a cave. And that was why the women were quick to go after the third day to see if they could prepare the body. But they did not find the body. It meant the reappearance of the Lord. And there are a few passages I'll be referring to along the line where, when they went into the tomb, they realized that the linen that was used in wrapping Jesus Christ has been neatly folded up and placed. It meant that the body has left the package. There is a fact of Christ dying. In Matthew chapter 27, verse 50, in Matthew 27:50 says, "And when he had cried out again with a loud voice, he gave up his spirit." Every person is made up of the human, the material, and the immaterial. And so if the immaterial leaves the body, it means that the person is dead. So the evidence is that the spirit, small s, of Jesus left, and he became a dead person. In John 19, 32 to 34, we are told of the burial of Jesus taking place in a tomb, sealed and guarded by soldiers. A similar context is found in Mark chapter 15, verses 42 to 47. So it is very clear that the body that was left, the mortal remains, was put in a tomb. It was sealed. It was guarded by soldiers. But in John chapter 20, verses 1 to 9, we find that when they went into the tomb, it was an empty tomb. Jesus appeared to Mary Magdalene. And when Mary saw him, she said, "Rabboni." What that means, in a sense, is that she could see with her own eyes that this is not a ghost. And the fact that this was Jesus who had appeared, even though there was nobody in the tomb, Jesus had appeared and he said, "Don't touch me for now." So, in a sense, we are saying that it is the whole of Jesus that was seen, not a ghost. We also know in John chapter 20, verse 20, that the Lord Jesus appeared to his disciples for them to see him and be able to testify. And he showed them his hands and said, "These are my hands. Come, touch it." We all know the story of the doubting Thomas. He said, "If I don't see him fully, I won't believe." Then Jesus appeared and said, "Thomas." You know, I find it so interesting. Jesus was not in the room. As to how he came to know that Thomas was doubting, should help me and you to know that he is God incarnate. He knows all things. Even when they had closed the doors and the windows, he appeared. And when he appeared, I'm sure as a human being, our body will not be able to go through a door. Or a sealed window. But he appeared and they saw him. And they said, when Thomas saw him, he said, "My Lord and my God." He didn't say, "Hey, this is the ghost of Jesus." He said, "My Lord and my God." And we are picking this as primary evidence from eyewitnesses who were primary eyewitnesses. They were there, and this is what they said. In John chapter 21, we are told some of the disciples went fishing, led by Peter. When Jesus appeared, they saw that it was Jesus. In Luke 24, 28 to 35, on the way to Emmaus, the two disciples who were still wondering about what has happened, in the end realized that it was Jesus they had encountered when he took the bread and broke it. There is another important evidence in the book of Acts. On the day of Pentecost, and by calculation, the Passover is followed by the Feast of Weeks, which is about 50 days elapsing. So it means that if Jesus died, Jesus took the bread with them on the day of Passover, and then he died, and then he rose again, and after 40 days, he ascended. Then the 50th day occurred 10 days after his ascension. But the key issue is that it means it is 50 days from the day that he rose. And when Peter stood out boldly and spoke in Acts 2, I'll be reading that again very soon. He said, God has made this Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. If there was no empty tomb, the people who had witnessed the crucifixion of Jesus Christ and his burial could easily have risen up and said, you guys, you are telling a lie. His tomb is there. It is still carrying his body. But interestingly, when you read on, they said, what shall we do? What shall we do? And so, my dear brothers and sisters, there are evidences to show that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. The power of God woke him up, took him out of the grave. Because the clutches of death could not contain him. He has broken into the gates of hell. He has gone into the grave. And when Paul himself encountered Jesus on the way to Damascus, he absolutely surrendered all his life and his profession to testify about this Jesus. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 17 and 18, Jesus revealed himself to John and said, I am the living one. I was dead, past tense. And behold, I am alive, present tense, forever and ever. I hold the keys of death and Hades. Hallelujah. Which means that if you and I are in the grave, Jesus is able to turn the lock and allow us to come out. Because he has the keys of death and hell. Oh, when to me know where the asaman so in good name the hine on the way. Oh, when to me know where the asaman so in good name the hine on the way. Yemawamo, Yeswe, Yemawamo, Mesaya, Ikunim Dine, Oni Ue Rani. Yemawamo, Yeswe, Yemawamo, Mesaya. Let me finish this brief teaching because we have communion today to be quite brief. But let's go to the Acts of the Apostles chapter 2 and read from verse 22. Acts 2 from verse 22. I'll be taking some verses and reading them out. I'm reading from the English Standard Version. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know. This Jesus, delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of the lawless men. God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. Verse 29. Brothers, I may say to you with confidence about the patriarch David that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Being therefore a prophet, and knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him that he will see one of his descendants on his throne, he foresaw and spoke about the resurrection of the Christ, that he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. 32. This Jesus God raised up, and of that we all are witnesses. 36 and 37. Let all the house of Israel, therefore, know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ. This Jesus, that is very important, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. 39. For the promise is for you and for your children, and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. My dear brothers and sisters, if this is being spoken, or this is a message being delivered on the 50th day, it was obvious that all the opponents of Jesus Christ had no evidence. And that was why Peter was bold enough to speak, because he also has been an eyewitness. He had gone to see an empty tomb. He has seen Jesus appearing to them, and he was sure that it was not a ghost. In fact, if it was a ghost, I don't think they would lay down their lives to die for such a ghost. But this morning, beloved, I declare unto you that we believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The evidences are there. And those who even took him to the cross and gave his body to be buried could not in any way negate the message of the apostles. We need no other argument. We need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died and that he died for us. And if he died for us, then all who believe that his death was meant to bring forgiveness of sins become beneficiaries of his death and his resurrection. And therefore, if you want to be a beneficiary, there is no drug that is going to come that will bring about resurrection. The only drug is to believe in Jesus Christ, that he died for our sins, that he rose again as a proof of God's power to raise from the dead that which is dead, to make immortal that which is mortal, and to give us hope that if we believe in him, we also will experience the resurrection. Even if we die, our mortal bodies will be given life. If we do not die and we live to witness the Christ, our bodies will receive newness that will enable us to meet the Lord. So my question to you, as we gradually bring our confession to a close, is, do you believe in the resurrection? Do you believe that Jesus died for our sins? And do you believe that through this, we have everlasting life? We can look forward to eternity with hope. If you don't believe, I want to tell you that Paul, a learned man, a true Jew, a true Pharisee of the tribe of Benjamin, believed and testifies. Therefore, you and I, when we believe on the basis of the eyewitnesses and the experience of people, we will also experience the resurrection. Let us bow our heads and pray. Yes, our Lord and our God, we believe. Lord, we believe. So help our unbelief. We ask this, Lord Jesus, in your blessed name. Amen. Shall we together affirm our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed? I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of lights, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the scriptures and ascended into heaven and seateth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe one holy Catholic and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins. And I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
We are glad you joined us for today's episode. To engage with us some more, kindly search for Trinity United Church Lagos on YouTube and Facebook and follow us. You can also join us every Sunday on the premises of Trinity Theological Seminary, Lagos. Thank you.